Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
So the gospel, I think, is encapsulated in the last line. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. And so the greater the gifts that we have, the greater the responsibility that we have, and God is going to take an accounting of how we use our gifts. Even if we have and I do hope and pray that we all stand before the judgment seat of God and that we hear ourselves invited into heaven, there's still going to be an accounting of how well we were stewards of the gifts that God has given to us. This is one of those places where we strongly believe Jesus is alluding to purgatory, where there is this purification that will take place according to the gifts that we were given and how well we used them. You know, today is the day, right? Have you ever heard that before? Today is the day. If you're going to do anything in life, you have to do it when? Today. Because when you get up tomorrow morning, guess what day it's going to be? It's going to be today. We can't get away from it. That's all we ever have is today. We have the day that we are living. So often, I think we think about tomorrow. But tomorrow really never comes. Today is the day. What do we pray in the Our Father? Our Lord teaches us, give us this day our daily bread. Today. You know, you've heard this, I know. Today is the first day of the rest of your life, right? So life begins anew today. Life begins anew today. And I hope that today is a day of growth in faith for you. I hope that today is a day that you embrace the greatest gift that God has given you, and that is the gift of your faith. Speaking of gifts, you know, when we have gifts, we're going to have to be accountable for those gifts someday. And we need to be aware of that. And that's what Jesus is telling us about in very kind of stark and almost frightening terms in the gospel. He doesn't want to frighten us, but he does want to get our attention. He wants us to hear him. Today's the day, and today we have to put our gifts to use. A few years ago, I had the privilege of going to a workshop, and this workshop was on ministering to people with disabilities. I was a seminarian, and so they brought in these people with disabilities, and one of the person giving the workshop told us her story, and her story went like this. She had a surgery, and the surgery was a bit challenging, had to correct some things. The doctor told her with just a little bit of physical therapy, with just a little bit of hard work, she'd be walking in no time. Well, days and weeks went by, and guess what? She was in a wheelchair. Doctor said, there's no reason in the world that you're in a wheelchair. None whatsoever. And she told us she didn't want to get out of her wheelchair. She said that being in a wheelchair had become her identity. And there was nothing wrong with being in a wheelchair. Now, I have to say, as I was listening to her, I almost couldn't believe what I was hearing. She was telling us that she had the gift of being able to walk, but she wasn't going to use that gift of being able to walk. And as I listened to her, I was kind of beside myself because, as I've shared before, I have a nephew who's been in a wheelchair all of his life. My nephew, whose father is an airborne ranger. My nephew who loves to go for an airplane ride or a boat ride. My nephew who's in a wheelchair, but he's jumped out of airplanes with the help of some other people. My nephew who would give anything to get up and walk. And here's this woman telling us there's nothing wrong with being in a wheelchair. Now, I understand part of what she was saying, but at the same time, she had the gift of being able to walk, and she needed to get up and help other people who couldn't walk. Am I making any sense to you? Do you hear what I'm saying? So I'm sitting in this workshop learning how to minister to people with disability, full of judgment, you know, judging her. And then I remember, every time I point my finger at somebody else, what's happening? Yeah, three fingers are pointing back at me, right? So as I sat there judging her for not using her gifts, I started thinking about the reality that there's probably some gifts that I'm not using. There's probably some things in my life that I'm not fully engaged with, some talent that I'm not developing, that maybe I'm waiting on. In fact, she said, maybe I'll start walking tomorrow. You know, we all have gifts. We all have talents. We all have abilities. And we let them sit idle to our own demise. And not only our own demise, but the demise of society, our friends, our family, the people that God has given us to love. And I would say to you, I would propose to you tonight that the greatest gift that you have is probably one of the most neglected gifts that there is. And the greatest gift that any one of us could receive is the gift of faith. Faith, a life-transforming, saving faith in God. All too often, people receive the gift of faith and then they let it wither. They let it fade away. I'm going to read to you a little passage from the second reading today. This is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the universe was ordered by the word of God, and that what is visible came into being through the invisible. By faith, we know God created. The gift of faith is precious beyond price, but it brings with it tremendous responsibilities. And some people turn down the gift of faith to escape from the responsibility that a life of faith will invite them to. Like the lady who was pretending to be in a wheelchair. With the gift of faith automatically brings responsibilities that we have to live today. You know, today is the day. When you wake up tomorrow, what day is it going to be? It's going to be today. We can't get away from it. That's all that we ever have is today. Now, faith is first and foremost a gift. Faith is infused in us. When we are baptized, God plants the seeds of faith in our soul. Faith, hope, and love are given to us. Faith, as I have said before, is not an intellectual accomplishment. It's not a gift only for the smart, only for those who can figure it out, that we might be proud that we have faith. It's not something that we can earn so that we can boast about our faith. No, it is a gift that is given to us, but it is something that we have to respond to. We're given the gift of faith, like the ability to walk. Sometimes we have to get up and do what? We have to get up and walk, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when it takes a little work and a little effort, a little, if you will, spiritual therapy. We got to get up and go. By faith, we know the love of God and the responsibility that God is calling us to. I'm going to quote again the Bible for you. Without faith, quoting the Bible now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must live a life of faith. Now, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I am not going to talk down to you tonight. I know I've already been talking for a couple minutes. I'm fixing to dive into a little theology, you know, 201, not 101. You know, a little advanced theology for 1 minute, okay? You can follow this, but you got to pay attention. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. We have faith. We have human faith. Now, what is human faith? You have an intellect. You have a brain. You can remember. You can think. You can come to conclusions. The intellect, your brain, your thoughts, your ideas, gives assent, that it is agrees to what is proposed to your will. Your will is the executive faculty of your being. Your will is where the decisions are made. It's the president of you, okay? Your will is who makes the decisions. So your intellect proposes something and your will decides. Your will chooses to believe or not to believe, to have faith or not to have faith. We use our reason to evaluate who and what to put our human faith in. We learn, we grow, we acquire knowledge by putting our faith in our teachers, our parents, the media, whoever it is that we believe, right? Because we don't prove every single thing that we believe. We just believe other people. So often we have to put our faith in something or somebody. And that's human faith I'm talking about now. And I won't say I don't care about your human faith. I do care about your human faith. But that's not the point of the homily tonight. The point of the homily is going to be your supernatural faith. But please understand that you have to put your faith in something, somebody. So supernatural faith is the act of the divine gift that is given to us. God is the first truth, and God has revealed himself to you and to me, that God is the source of our faith, he is the source of our life, and we have a moral duty to believe in God. We have a moral duty to assent to the truth that is presented to us and make a decision to believe. And that is what? Faith. But is it just believing? Say no, Father Mike. And I'll give you another quote from the Bible here. This is from the letter of James. Quote, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe in God, and they shudder in fear. It's not enough to believe in God. We have to believe in God and then live our faith. My brothers and sisters, our Christian faith is not a blind leap. Our Christian faith uses our intellect and our will, but it is our intellect and our will united to the gift that God has given us. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for. So I'm going to ask you for a moment, what do you hope for? What are you hoping for? I'm hoping the Saints win the Super Bowl. Is that what you're hoping for? What are you hoping for? If you have divine faith, your hope is for eternal life with God in heaven. Trillions of billions of years that you can't even imagine in heaven with seeing the face of God and the gift of life in God beyond what mind has heard or ear has heard and mind has thought. That's what we hope for in faith. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for, and faith is the evidence of things we don't see. Faith is this supernatural virtue inspired in us by the grace of God, and it is united to the light of reason. Faith teaches us that it is wrong to steal, that it is wrong to commit adultery, that it is wrong to lie. Faith is a light for our life. And the great obstacle to faith is that when we embrace a life of faith, we have to put our trust in God. And you know what, brothers and sisters? We're much more comfortable putting our trust in ourselves. Saint Augustine said this, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like in the gospel, it's not the gospel that you believe, it's yourself that you believe. And that's not a supernatural faith. And that's not a saving faith. Back to the Bible again. Faith without works is dead. Our faith must inspire us to live a life a particular way. When we embrace the gift of faith, we got to get up and do what? Say, you got to get up and walk, Father Mike. We got to put our faith to use, Father Mike. We got to get out of our chair and do something, Father Mike. We can't just have the gift and do nothing with it. Because we're going to stand before the judgment seat of God someday. And the more the gift that you have been given, the more you will be responsible for. Our problem so often is not that we don't have the gift of faith, it's that we don't use the gift of faith. Some of you have heard of C.S. Lewis and one of his very famous books. The name of this book is The Screwtape Letters. Anybody here ever read The Screwtape Letters? If you haven't read The Screwtape Letter, I will recommend that you read The Screwtape Letters. It's a wonderful little parody about this devil. And this devil's name is Wormwood. And he's like a bureaucrat in the devil hierarchy. And he's got to train the other devils on how to tempt people. Screwtape is the chief devil and Wormwood is the lower devil. Anyway, you read the book, you'll enjoy it, okay? So, once there was this devil. He was a minor devil. He was a new demon. He was explaining his strategy to a veteran. And he said, my plan is to convince my man that there is no God. Well, the senior devil said, that will work on a few, but really, all he has to do is take a look at the heavens and beyond the earth, and he will know that God exists. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. We have trouble with that one. Well, then the junior demon said, I will convince him that there is no devil. And the senior demon said, yeah, that's promising. You'll get a few more with that one. But still, if he looks around his neighborhood, if he even looks inside of himself, he'll know there is a devil. So the senior devil said, this is the best plan. Don't try to convince him there is no God. Don't try to convince him there is no devil. Just try to convince him there is no hurry. Wait till tomorrow. Start living your faith when? Tomorrow. But guess what, brothers and sisters? Tomorrow never comes. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the day to embrace your faith. Today is the day to give assent to the glory of God. Today is the day to open your heart to the gift and let the gift of faith flourish in you. You know, I think about that girl at that handicap workshop about 15 or 20 years ago, and I wonder if she's still in that wheelchair. Or I wonder if she's gotten up and started using the gift that she had. I pray today that I receive and live the gift of faith, and I pray today even more fully, that you receive and live the gift of your faith.